So grace is consistent and constant towards everyone. Because it has nothing to do with you, it has everything to do with God. And God is always consistent and constant. Amen? So let's look at the next point. It says grace, God's grace includes everything that Jesus did for us in the atonement. Now, I want to spend a little bit of time on this because we need to understand what actually took place. And I'm not going to go through every single little point that could possibly be made. I'm not going to cover every single verse that obviously deals with the atonement. But let's just deal with that word atonement for a little while. You know what atonement means? A simple definition means at one. Through what Jesus did, he made us at one with himself. At one meant. You see that? Another word is reconciliation. And there's some people that say the word atonement's not the right word. That's the Old Testament word. Don't worry about that. What Jesus did, he's made us at one with himself through what Jesus did on the cross. Through what Christ did, we're now reconciled and made one with him through what Jesus did. Amen. So let's look at some scriptures that talk about this. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 2, chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. This is dealing with sin. Through what Christ did on the cross, it says he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So one way to look at the atonement or the reconciliation, another way to look at that is the exchange. What Christ did, he took everything we were so that he could give us everything he is. Amen. That's good news. So let's go to another verse. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. 1 Peter 2, 24 says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. So here again we see this is what Jesus did on the cross. And it says that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So the other thing is, healing was produced in the atonement, at the at-one-ment. Amen. Sins were dealt with. Sickness was dealt with at the cross. Now later on, we're going to talk about healing. So we're going to establish some things. So I'm not going to do that tonight. You'll have to come. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And let's look at verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. And again, I'm going to be talking about this again later. So we're just going to mention this. But it says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Now, has that verse been abused? Yes. But does that make the verse not true? No. The verse is true. That's what the verse says. In other words, Jesus took the consequence for sin, and one of the consequences is poverty. He took that consequence, and he gave us and he produced the potential and the ability through what he did on the cross. He made prosperity, scriptural, biblical prosperity possible through what he did on the cross. That's the truth. I don't have time to get into it tonight, but the reason he did that was not so that you can live in a mansion and show off to all the unbelievers. It was so that God's ability would be working in your life so that you have the finances you need to preach the gospel. Amen. That's what it is about. So let's move on. I could stop right there. That's awesome. Because when the body of Christ wakes up for the purpose of prosperity, it's not about you, even though you get included. It's about the kingdom of God and seeing it expanded. Because I don't know about you, but it takes money to do things. It doesn't take money for you to do what you need to do, raise your hand. You know, sometimes because I'm a preacher, people just think I have a hallelujah card. I go to Super Spar, and I put all my groceries down. So how are you going to pay for this, sir? Cash? Debit? No, hallelujah card. Doesn't work that way. I tried it. It didn't work. Because even though you may believe, that person doesn't. And the light company doesn't believe in faith. They don't. They believe in RENs. And if you don't have it, they're coming. So it takes finances to promote the gospel. And Jesus made the provision to do so in what he did on the cross. And God's so good that you'll be blessed, even personally, in the process of it all. One way to look at it is, there's one hand to receive and one hand to give. As the money passes through, there's plenty for you. But if it's not passing through, then there's a stagnation. And stagnation is never good. But we're moving on. Let's go to Galatians 1, verse 4. Galatians 1, verse 4. It says, who gave himself for our sins. So here we're seeing that great exchange again, right? Jesus taking upon himself all of what we were in order to give us all of what he is. And in this context, it says, he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God and Father. This is not talking about us leaving the earth. It's talking about right now on this earth. It's not talking about sometime in the future when you go to be with Jesus. Deliverance is now of whatever is going on in your life. Amen. Now that's a broad topic, obviously. And so I just didn't even address that. But through what Christ did on the cross, deliverance has been made possible in every area of your life. Okay, the next point is you must respond to God's grace with faith for it to manifest in your life. God's grace has already been made available, but we have to believe it and appropriate it to see it manifest in our life. Only unbelief can stop grace from working. That's the only thing that stops grace, unbelief. And there's different reasons why there's unbelief. I'm not going to get into that right now. We'll wait, and if we have time, I'll try to get into it real quick, but I probably won't have time. But there's various reasons for unbelief. One, just ignorance. Here I'm getting into it, aren't I? Just ignorance. You don't know. Two, willful disbelief. I don't believe that that is true, even though the Bible says it. Because that's not what we were taught in our church. I can't tell you how many Christians are stuck in that rut. But it's in the Bible. You would think that that would solve the problem. But remember the story Andrew said one time. He's talking to this lady about stuff. He said, but it's in the Bible. She says, oh, well, there's plenty of stuff in the Bible we don't believe. At least she was honest. That's disbelief, willful disbelief. Another type of unbelief is just because of your natural senses, and hopefully we'll get into that. And what do you say? What are you talking about, Sean? Well, you know, if you're standing before a Red Sea and there's Egyptians behind you, your senses will tell you it's over. Amen, even though God says differently. But I don't want to camp out here. We need to go on. But Hebrews 4:2, we looked at that last week. It says that the gospel which was preached to them was the same that was preached to us, but it didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith in those who heard it. You can't get any more clear than that. The gospel, if you don't mix it with faith, believing, it won't profit you. Now, the thing to understand about faith is that, I didn't get into this, but God gave you the faith you have. So if he gave you the faith you have, the Bible says you were saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, that's talking about the faith. God gave you a measure of faith. Every single human being can believe. So there's nothing wrong with your faith, but there's something wrong with whether or not you're using it. And some people choose, they just don't care, they choose to not believe. We talked about that a little bit. So we don't need to be those types of people. We need to say, God, if my heart is hard, like one of those conditions of the heart, if you were here last week, Lord, I want my heart to be soft. There's so much more I could have taught about that. I didn't have time to do it. But God wants us to pull aside to him. Take the time we need to hear him. Allow the Holy Spirit to soften our hearts. He wants to. If you look carefully in that passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 13 and Luke chapter 8, it's all talking about the same thing. A lot of people heard him say, and he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And what happened? Most of the people just said, "Man, I don't understand this," and they walked away. But those who were hungry stayed behind and said, "Jesus, what does this mean?" And then he started to expound it to those who were hungry. Do you understand what I'm saying? God will teach us if we want to be taught. But it can't be during the commercial break. "Lord God, here's my favorite show, but when the commercial comes on, I'll ask you." Now, you might get some answers, but odds are you're not. Why? Because you are hungry for something else. You understand what I'm saying? It's not God withholding. God does not withhold from us, folks. We withhold from ourselves. Amen. So let's move on. So what is faith? If we're saved by grace through faith, and if everything we need is God's already provided what He's provided for us by grace, and if God hasn't provided already for you by grace through what Jesus did on the cross, God's not going to do it for you. Now that's a strong statement, but it's true. God doesn't need to do anything for us that He hasn't already done for us through what Christ did. All the answers to any problem we have and any problem we face was answered on the cross. It's true. It's true. There is no other solution. Government and politics are not going to save the world. Only Jesus and the gospel will change this world. You know what the hope for South Africa is? Jesus. 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 Say that. Jesus. That's why I love this group, man. It's so mixed. This is training ground for a heaven. Heaven is mixed. If you don't believe me, go look in Revelation. People from every tribe, every tongue, every kindred are saying, "Hallelujah, bless you, Jesus, for you have saved us and redeemed us." So if you like people that look just like you, don't believe in Jesus. Because Jesus is the answer. Not Jesus and politics. I know sometimes that steps on people's toes because we really love our party sometimes. Everywhere in the world, folks, everywhere I go, people are trusting in Jesus, and Jesus is all we really need. Now, we need good governments. I'm not saying that. But they're not the answer. Jesus is the answer. Amen. And we have the answer. So let's bring it to people. So let's look at what is faith. Faith is not what you do to get God to respond or to move on your behalf. Okay? Can't tell you how many times I've heard faith moves God. How many of you ever heard that? Brothers and sisters, God's not stuck. Faith moves us. Faith moves us. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out. God didn't go out. God was already in the place He told Abram to go. That's why when Abraham went out, he didn't know where he was going. Well, how do you know when you're going to get there? Because God's going to be there. That's why. And I'll show you this in a minute. But faith is not what you do to get God to respond or to move on your behalf, such as in fasting, praying, and confessing. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. It just has to do with why you're doing them. We need to pray. We need to seek God. We need to confess the Word of God instead of confessing all the doubt and unbelief and everything that's contrary to what truth is. But we're not doing it to get God to do something He's already done. Think about how absurd it would be if we were confessing that Jesus is going to come to die for us. We'd say, "Brother, you've missed it. How have you read? Have you read the Bible at all?" "I've read the New Testament 500 times. "Well, then how did you miss it? He's already done that." You see, but when it comes to other things, right, we think God hasn't done it. We can't make God do anything. Brothers, oh man, I'm telling you, if you get this revelation, it actually sets you free. Life is miserable when you're trying to get God to do something. Be honest, how many of you have tried to get God to do something? It's miserable. Now this brother is truly saved. All of you other religious people need to come forward right now. If you haven't tried to make God do something, I didn't say the last week, but sometime in your life, you tried to get God to see things your way by your praying, your fasting, your crying. God. And I've noticed this one thing. God doesn't move based upon need. You know why? Because he's already moved. And he's provided for your need before you ever showed up. So why do we pray then, Sean, for our needs? Well, you don't have to, actually. But when you pray for your need, there's a thing called receiving and believing what God has for you. Because I want to explain this later, because I want to say this. But you see, when you seek God for what God's already done, then God is able to show you where he's already done it. When you seek God for what he's already done, I'm going to explain this by some verses. He'll show you where he's already done it. Oh, that sounds crazy, Sean. I'll show you in a minute. But when you're seeking God and you're praying, when it happens, you know. If you need 10,000 rand to go on a mission trip, and you say, God, I thank you that you've already met this need because this is what you want me to do. And someone walks up to you and says, brother, here's 10,000 rand. You know what it's for. But if you weren't seeking God for that and someone gives you 10,000 rand, you'll go out and buy a flat screen television. Because you didn't know what it was for. Hello? Is this making sense? Faith, next point, because we already did, faith doesn't move God. He's not stuck. Faith is our positive response to what God has already done on our behalf. Let's go to Acts chapter 14. I'll show you here what happened here. Acts chapter 14, let's look at verses 7 through 10. Verse 7 says, and they were preaching the gospel there. So what were they preaching? Which is the good news of what Christ did. Not what he's going to do. Gospel means good news, not good prophecy. When you read the newspaper, they're not telling you what's going to happen next year. They're telling you what happened. Yesterday, two people were murdered, or yesterday, gas prices went up. Or, you see, now they may tell you what's happening, that's going to happen because it's already decided, especially here like gas prices. But news means you're reporting something that happened. And so they were preaching the gospel there, and verse 8 says, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. What was he speaking? Can you connect the dots? What do you got to say here? Connect the dots, join the dots? Connect the dots, join the dots? Connect and join. How about that? So Paul was speaking, he was preaching the gospel, and Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. Where did he get this faith? That's right. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Faith does not, now I don't want to sound weird, but faith doesn't come directly from the word. Faith comes when you hear the word. You have to hear God breathing this to you. And when that happens, it sparks faith inside of you because inside the word is the faith to believe that word. So it says here that Paul saw that he had faith to be healed. He saw it. What was happening? He's probably inching forward, probably pushing up on his hands. He saw he was intent, saying, wow, that's mine. What did Paul say? Stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. Now, we're not teaching a course on a session on authority, but that's authority, folks. You know what authority is? When you know what you have and you use it. It's one of the best definitions I can come up with. Authority is when you know what you have and you use it. You know what God's given you. Paul knew what God had given him, and he used it because he knew it was at his disposal to use. Sometimes we're begging God to do something when he's already given us the power and the ability to do it, and we wonder why it doesn't happen, and God's saying, I can't do it when I've given you the power to do it. I no longer, this might sound some fun, maybe not here anymore, but God is saying, how can I do it when I no longer have the power I've given to you? Now notice, I'm not saying he's weak. I'm just saying so that we understand. We have the power source called Jesus living on the inside of us. He's the generator. He's the power source. Amen. So we have that. And we have to know that it's ours to use and to appropriate and to transfer in this world. And so we're going to be learning some things you can't miss. Please don't miss. And if you do, download it. But don't miss these teachings, because every week I'm going to be referring back. You remember in the balance of grace and faith, boom, here's another example, and boom, 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 the whole time. Because God's word is not independent of itself. Amen. Let's look at the next point. Faith cannot bring to pass something that God hasn't provided. Faith can only receive what God has already provided by his grace. Okay? Now, if he's already provided it, it makes us totally different how we go about it. Because if we think God hasn't given it to us, then our whole approach is that we haven't received it. And so if I gave you keys to a car, then if you want to use that car, what do you have to do? You have to take the keys, go to the car, get in, start the engine, and go. But what happens if you don't believe it, that I gave you the keys? Even though it's jingling in your pocket, you're going to be asking me for the keys. Now, can I give them to you if I've already given it to you? Have you ever noticed how silent God is sometimes when we're asking him for something? Like, how come God's not answering? Because he can't. Not because he doesn't love you. How can God answer a question or answer a request that he's already answered? Ask God, God, please send Jesus. Guess what? There's going to be dead silence in heaven. He's going to look over at Jesus. Hold up your hands again. I thought so. Is this making sense? Folks, I'm not denying whatever you're going through. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying if you're sick in your body, it's all in your mind. You're not really sick. That's not what I said. But I'm saying that God's already provided the ability, and he's already provided the power for you to be healed. And now it's up to us to appropriate that power and let that power be released and manifest in our flesh. That's what I'm saying. So instead of begging and asking God to heal you, your approach is, wait a minute. You remember that verse we just read in 2 Peter 2:24? It says, by his stripes you were healed. Were, past tense. On the cross, Jesus provided healing for your body. And guess what? That was a once and for all sacrifice. So Jesus already provided the power for healing 2,000 years ago. So we don't have to ask God to send the power. He's already sent it if you're born again. It's on the inside of you. Just as the light company at Tequeenie, I don't have to call them and say, hey, send the power. They say, hey, flip the switch. Were you born yesterday? Are you stupid? What's wrong with you? Oh, at Tequeenie, is something wrong? My light went out. Well, we're still generating. But please, please send someone, please. Say, troubleshooting guide, check light bulb. Is switch turned on? Oh. See, sometimes in our own lives, we don't realize why something's not working. And our default setting is it's God's fault. But with this message, we realize it's not God's fault. And that's good news. Because if it's God's fault, we're in trouble. Because God said, I change not. But if it's our fault, it may hurt a little while, but then we can change and say, boom, we can start seeing results. I don't know about you, but that blesses me that God's never the problem. He's never the problem. I'm the problem. I don't like that, Sean. Well, start liking it. Or as Andrew says, if that rubs the cat's fur the wrong way, let the cat turn around. Because you're only petting this way. And if that's making the cat's hair stand up, the cat needs to turn around because God's not going to start stroking the other way. Does that make sense? So in other words, you can't use your faith to do something God has not provided by grace. God, by His grace, has not provided me to be the fastest runner in the world. That's not what God's grace has done. That's natural abilities. So if I get out there and Usain Bolt's next to me, you know who that is? Fastest runner in the world from Jamaica. I'm going to beat you, man. Not a chance. So I'm going to beat you because I have faith. I'm going to look foolish. Why? Because faith cannot make happen what God has not already provided. And God did not say He took your slowness so that you could have His quickness. So God in His grace has not provided the ability to be a criminal. I don't know if you've heard of Al Capone, but Al Capone was a very famous, notorious gangster in Chicago in the 1920s. Became the richest man in the world. All illegal. That wasn't grace. So we can don't waste your time believing God for things that He hasn't provided for. Life's too short to believe for things that God hasn't already given us. There's enough to do with believing what God's already given us that will make your life so rewarding that you don't even have to worry about those things. So what is God's grace made available? Healing, forgiveness, blessing, deliverance, the authority to go bring this message to the world. If you've never stepped out of yourself and brought the gospel to people who've never heard the gospel, you have no idea the kind of miracles you can see. Because God has given us that ability by His grace to bring the message. Because Jesus said in Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go make disciples. Therefore, go preach the gospel. Therefore, go lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Amen. That's what God's given us. So how does grace through faith work? Might have to speed up a little bit. But believe that God has already provided everything you need. Ephesians 1:3, very quickly, please. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. You see, that's past tense. With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In other words, God has already provided everything you need, but it's in spirit form. In other words, word form. We now have to plant it and believe it and appropriate it to see it manifest in this natural realm. Now, there's a lot more to say on that, but we need to move on. Let's go to verse 11, please. It says, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance. Past tense. Being predestined. Past tense. According to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Amen. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Did you know that grace and peace can be multiplied to you? But there's only one way it can be. It says, in knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. In other words, Jesus now lives on the inside of you. You have all the grace that God could ever give you, but it can lie dormant on the inside of you until you know what you have. That's why we're doing these lessons, so that you can start to know what you have. It says, as His divine power has given to us, past tense, all things, say all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. So I don't know about you, but if all things that pertain to life and godliness, that means all things. So everything you need has already been given to you that pertains to life and godliness. Well, I don't believe that, Sean, because I don't see it. Well, it's because your knowledge is wrong. What you're believing is wrong. What you're focusing on is wrong. You're looking at the wrong things. And I could just sit here and teach on this for a lot longer, but we need to move on. I want to show you a practical example in Scripture of grace through faith, what God's provided, and then someone believing it and receiving what God already provided. Would you like to see that? Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17. Let's look in verses 2 through 6. It said, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, again, it's very important to have the word of the Lord in your heart. The written word, God making it come alive, and there's also times when God speaks to your heart. That's the word of the Lord. There was no verse in this Bible that said, Sean, thou shalt goeth to South Africa. God spoke that to my heart. But it didn't contradict anything in the word. He didn't say, thou shalt leave your wife and children, for I have another woman for you in South Africa. I would have said, that's not God. That's the devil. But it says, and the word of the Lord came to him saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Next verse. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Did you see this? God told Elijah where his provision was. Elijah wasn't doing anything. He wasn't confessing God and making God move. God already moved and then let Elijah know where he moved. Not again. Does this make sense? So when you got saved, God revealed to you where he moved, and that was in the person of Jesus Christ. So God told Elijah, go to the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan, because I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now we need to understand there was a drought in the land at that time. And look at verse 5, and it said, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith. Now, what if Elijah had said, well, God, I don't like the brook Cherith. I like the brook Kidron better. I'm going there. He would have gone to Kidron and been praying and fasting and bawling, saying, God, where? Please meet my needs. And God said, I'd already met your needs before you even knew you had a need. I told you to go to the brook Cherith, for I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. And notice, it says that Elijah went and did as the Lord said. See, grace, God revealed to him what he had done. Had nothing to do with Elijah. Elijah had nothing to do with believing God for the ravens. That was not Elijah's idea. God told Elijah where to go and where his provision was. And so when Elijah showed up there at the brook Cherith, could he have gotten into a lot of pride because it was by his own holiness and his own goodness and his own faith that made these ravens come? He could have, you're right. But it wouldn't have made any sense, would it? Because God had showed him where the provision was. All Elijah had to do was believe it and go there. Same thing with us. Ephesians 2:10. Let's go real quickly. I'm almost out of time. But I'm going to finish this real quickly. Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now this is very important because sometimes when we're facing a need, we need to remember this verse. This happened so many times in our life, I can't even tell you. One time we were in Russia, and our landlord got mad at us, and he told us we had 1 month to get out of his apartment. And we didn't do anything wrong. How he got mad was, in Russia, we had to register with the government where we were living because we were foreigners. And then that government agency connected to the tax agency and said, there's foreigners living in this apartment. Are you receiving taxes? Had nothing to do with me. So the tax office sent him a letter saying, we know you have foreigners living in the apartment. We know you're not doing it out of the kindness of your heart. You owe us this amount of money. We assume this is how much you're charging. So he got upset at us. You have to be out of my apartment. And in Russia, it's very hard to find places because people, there's this very shortage of places to live. And so we didn't get scared. It was a temptation. We said, God, before the foundations of the earth, you knew the good works which you had prepared for us. Therefore, you have the place already before the foundation of the earth. You have that place that you provided for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you're going to reveal it to us, that we will know where it is. You know what? That takes the whole pressure off of you. Instead of God, and you're scrambling to try to find something and fix this problem and make it up. And all of a sudden, this just was news to God. He now has to find something. No, Jesus already had it provided before time began. You know what? Exactly. It happened just exactly like that. God revealed to us that place. The same thing happened here. Are you starting to see what I'm saying here? Lord, what is the job that you had provided for me from before time began? Where is it you want me to work so that I can do what I can do and make the funds I need to make so that I can be a blessing in the kingdom of God? There's all these things. It's no mystery to God. Another way that grace works through faith is that we have to acknowledge what God has already given us. Let's go to Philemon, verse 6. There's only one chapter, so it's 1:6. It says, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You have to acknowledge that God has already put what you need on the inside of you. You have to acknowledge who you are. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am healed because Jesus healed me, and the devil's trying to make me sick. I'm not trying to get healed. I am healed. And this is an attack of the devil, and I'm going to resist this thing. Romans 8:11 says that the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. You need to believe that. You need to acknowledge that. You're not trying to get that power. You have the power. You know, how many of you ever heard the double portion anointing services? Come for the double portion. Folks, you have the full portion already inside of you. To go to a double portion service means you don't believe you have anything. Did you go to one? Didn't work, did it? Okay. So now we have to use what we have received by faith. Not try to get what you don't have by faith. Use what you have received by faith. It says here in Matthew 10, verse 1, it says, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Verse 7 through 8. Says, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, not will receive. You have received, freely give what you've received. Acts chapter 3, verses 4 through 8, we'll see an example of this, and we're finishing up. And fixing his eyes on him, there was a leper at the gate. Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And you know the rest of the story. Folks, he didn't say, hold on, guys. We're going to go pray because it was at the hour of prayer that we're going to the temple to go pray. Wait, we're going to go get prayed up. We're going to fast. We're going to pray. We're going to come back with the power. Don't go nowhere. He said, what do you mean don't go nowhere? I haven't walked my whole life. Peter didn't say that. He said, what I have, I'm giving you. Peter believed what Jesus said. Jesus said, freely receive, freely give. He was acting on that. When you act on the word, when you believe you have it, you'll start seeing results. Anyone who's ever started praying for the sick will say that's true. 2 Peter 1:1. It says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained, past tense, like precious faith with us, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. You have the same faith that Peter used when he told that man, rise up and walk. You have the same faith that Peter had when he used to pass by people and his shadows would heal people. He said, you've already obtained it. Like precious faith with us. Folks, you have to acknowledge what you have. But brother, I don't feel it. We're going to talk about that next week. It has nothing to do with what you feel with your senses. But you have it if you're born again. Amen. Next week. Yeah.